May the grace of God and peace of Jesus Christ be with you. I shall read the Word of God from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, beginning with the 35th verse. To verse 44. The words are in Jesus' name. And now, when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, "This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about, and into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." He answered and said unto them, "Give ye them to eat." And they said unto him, "Shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread, and give them to eat?" He said unto them, "How many loaves have ye? Go and see." And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when they had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed, and brake the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat, and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments, and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, dear listeners, now you are hearing a sermon through the translator. Perhaps some of you are listening through several translators. And it is actually so that every single sermon is an interpretation. The speaker is interpreting the sermon by the Holy Spirit. And it is my request and my prayer that you would pray that God would reveal his word. So that he would bless this service moment as well. Our text is about a feeding miracle. When we think of our summer services, how long these services have been planned. And how many hours of work have been invested in this to allow us to come and hear the word of God. Our text is speaking about an event that is slightly different. And in order to allow us to begin looking at our text, it would be a good idea to take a look at what happened right before this. Jesus had sent his 12 disciples to preach. And he had given them the authority to battle against unclean spirits and the power to preach about the kingdom of God. But right around that same period, John the Baptist was beheaded by the King Herod. And Jesus had learned of this. The Gospel of Matthew relates how the disciples of John the Baptist came up to Jesus and related what had happened. And then the disciples of Jesus returned from their mission trip. And they too related what had happened on their trip. How they had healed the sick and preached of the kingdom of God. And in turn, John speaks about this way, that even the evil spirits, but Jesus said unto them, be not happy about that. But be happy about the fact that your names are written in the book of life. And now we come to our text. The text tells us how the day had gone by and the evening had come. And in another portion, it says that they had been together for 3 days. And Jesus saw that large group of people were approaching him. And it is said that they were like a sheep without a shepherd. And it is said And he began to teach them for a long time. How long have we been here in Vasa? This is the fourth day. And why have we come here? I can say the reason for this. When we started on our trip here on Thursday, and when we were able to hear that if you were planning to come here on Thursday, it would be better if you came on Friday. We were not obedient to this instruction. Instead, we wanted to come here so much that to be with everyone else that we left on Thursday evening. There were no lines, and we were able to drive to our campsite without any help. And it is the gift of God that we have the desire to come together. And we can even forget our temporal bread. This is what had happened in our text. The day was long, or it was evening, and it wasn't until then that the apostle started thinking about bread and the need to get it. And they came up to Jesus and asked him to count about going to the houses and stores to go buy bread. But then Jesus didn't want them to do this. In another text, it relates on this subject, on this event, by saying that Jesus did not want the people to leave hungry from that event. He said, perhaps they won't have the strength to reach their homes because they were so hungry. And now, surprisingly, Jesus tells his disciples, give them to eat. Give ye them to eat. And the disciples answer and say, shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread? Someone has done the mathematics and found out that this is a huge sum of money. But it would not have been enough for 5,000 men. And in addition to that, for the women and children. Jesus asked the disciples and says, do you have anything to eat with you? And he says, go check. And so this is what the disciples did. And they returned and they said, We have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. And now Jesus gives the disciples a new task. He commands them to tell all the diners to sit on a green grass, to sit in groups of either 100 or in groups of 50. And the apostle, the disciples do this. And then Jesus takes these 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. He looked up into heaven and blessed and gave a prayer of thanks. And after that, he begins the breaking of bread. How was this bread distributed or handed out? I think that the disciples had a basket with them. Our text says at the end that there were 12 baskets full of the fragments. And what I think is that the disciples had these baskets. The Bible doesn't relate whether these baskets were large or small. But I think childlike like this. That the disciples took this bread from Jesus and distributed it to the people. And once, time after time, they came back to Jesus to get more bread. And the bread did not run out. I remember another part of the Bible that speaks about the bread. That is from the time of the journey in the wilderness. From the book of Exodus, chapter 16, verses 27, it says, "And they came before the palm trees near the water. And you have read and you have heard how often the nation experienced hunger and thirst on the journey in the wilderness. And for a moment, they were able to pause and rest their bodies. But then the journey would continue. And it did not take long for them to be hungry again. And they said unto Moses as follows, 'Why couldn't we have stayed in Egypt, where we had plenty to eat and now we will all die in the desert. But God, He protects us, and He hears our prayers. We remember the sigh of Moses when he was on the shore of the Red Sea. And God said, "Why are you shouting, Moses?" And even here, God helps His nation. In the 16th verse of 4th chapter, and so the Lord spake unto Moses, "I shall allow bread to fall from heaven, and the people can go outside and gather as much as they need. And if they endeavor in my commandments or not, And the 31st verse says, "And the house of Israel called the name thereof Manna." And it needed to be collected every day except for Sunday. And everybody collected as much according to how much they needed. And this is what they did for the entire duration of the journey of the wilderness. This manna was their bread. Another part of that portion of the Bible comes from the first book of Kings, its 17th chapter. This is what the prophet, it speaks about the prophet Elijah. That he needed to go to Sidon of Zarephath, to the widow. And when Elijah goes there, this widow woman comes to the gate to gather food, to gather sticks. And Elijah says to her, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And when this widow woman went to get water, Elijah shouted after her, "Bring me a piece of bread also." And this widow woman says, "I only have a little meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse." And that, "Behold, I am gathering two sticks, and I will make a piece of bread and eat it with my son, and after that I will die. But can you imagine what Elijah said to this widow woman? He tried the faith of this widow woman. He says, first make a little cake for me. And can you imagine that this is what the widow woman actually does? And this bread was enough for her and for Elijah and for the son of the widow woman. I remember a beautiful event in the Church of Westeros. The priest stood at the altar and the interpreter or translator was standing in the hallway near the altar. And his arms were extended like this. And he always turned toward the speaker whenever the speaker said something. And after that, he turned toward the listeners. Not only in word, but also with his arms. We can pray that God would also do this way to us today. It is so that this miracle of feeding was not only in the fact that the people were able to get something to eat. Why did Jesus perform miracles? To make the people believe him. He also did many other things. He even raised the man from the dead. Even here, what happened first was a sermon and only then food. Jesus makes a distinguishes between spiritual and temporal bread. Last night, a preacher said in his sermon, that how should spiritual or living bread be eaten? Temporal bread is eaten by the mouth, and it goes into our tummies, and we are nourished by it. But living bread is not consumed by the mouth, but rather by the ears. And it does not go into your stomach. It goes into your heart. And then what is it that happens in your heart when this living bread goes inside? Dear brothers and sisters, we know what happens. God gives us peace and joy. When we are able to hear familiar words and hear that our sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. And this is also a work of God when He makes a heart receive the Word of God. Isaiah says in chapter 55, the first verse, all ye that thirst, come to the waters. You that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. And Matt writes in chapter 11, verse 28. Come, all ye who are heavy laden, and I shall grant you rest. And so, everyone in our text were able to eat. And the food was sufficient. And this is what we can do even now. If there is someone who wishes to eat of the living bread, Jesus says himself, I am the living bread. And he that cometh to me, I shall not turn away. You who are poor and feel yourselves to be weak. It is often said to uplift your heart to believe. Believe your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. And from this we receive peace and joy. The Lord Jesus, who was here one time, his greatest task, his main task, was to atone for the sins of the world. And this is what he did too. But during the time that he traveled here on earth, he invited 12 disciples to him. For a long time, he instructed these disciples. So that they would continue his task here on earth. And before he stepped into heaven, He gathered them. He gathered 11 of the disciples together. And he said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost, and preach the gospel across the world. And in another gospel it says, In my name. And that is why we continue to preach the forgiveness of sin in Jesus' name and in his blood. When Jesus met the women in that well of Sychar, the Samaritan woman, and when he began to speak to her about water, about living water, there is a certain difference between living water and ordinary water. And in the same way, there was a difference between ordinary bread and heavenly bread. Ordinary bread and water is for our temporal bodies. But the spiritual bread and the spiritual water is for our new body. What we heard before, that if we can only believe until the end, we shall arrive at the destination in heaven. Shall we not make those decisions now, brothers and sisters? Or if there is someone listening to this sermon of mine, someone who thinks that he does not have peace in his heart, and if God has awakened your conscience, and if you acknowledge your sinfulness, this is enough for God. You too can eat the living bread which Jesus gave his disciples. And drink that living water which ye shall be able to partake of and hear through the sermon. God is approaching you even at this moment. We cannot open your ears, but God is able to do so. That is, if you hear, be obedient and believe. And so you too can enter and become a member of the kingdom of God. And there will be new songs ringing in your ears. We've been able to hear a lot of songs here at summer services. And it feels so nice to hear them. We don't want to go anywhere from here except heaven. But if this temporal life of ours continues, we don't want to give up our faith today. Instead, we pray that God would also give strength even for tomorrow, and also for all days of the future, so that we would be victorious through faith. And gain that great incomprehensible gift which God has given mankind when he sacrificed his son on our behalf for my sake and your sake. You can believe your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood, and be of good cheer. We shall remain believing like this. You can understand that I have a lot of doubts. Even if I spoke in Finnish, I would have doubts. And even more, not to mention speaking in Swedish. But when there is no other possibility except to trust in God, that he will help even at this moment, I received a lot of text messages into my telephone before I had a speaking turn from brothers and sisters who are not here at the site. And they wished God's blessings for me at this moment. And that felt good. And I wish to believe, can I believe my own sins forgiven? I wish to believe like this. And you too, brother and sister, can believe like this. God's word is not in the amount of words, not in beautiful words, but as the apostle writes, it is the demonstration of God's power. And this can be experienced by us even in these days. We have had the opportunity to hear many sermons, and we will continue to be able to hear many sermons until tomorrow. When these summer services end, come to an end. But we don't need to give up our faith when we leave from here. But rather, faith will follow us in all of our days. As Jesus says, I am necessary for you. He will protect us. Even the weakest one. And he will give strength through his gospel for everyone who wishes to believe it. And thus we say, Amen, in Jesus' name, Amen.